Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Well, hello, everybody, on this Thanksgiving week, and I'm just so thankful to be able to do this every week, and I'm delighted to have my guest. His name is G. C. Brown, Gregory C. Brown, and he is the author and has released his latest book, Sniff, and he's also the co-founder of a new company called Up Cup Coffee, and I must tell you that's spelled with a K, and it's launching soon. Welcome to the show, GC.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Let's get to know you. Let's tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, so I grew up in the Midwest on a small farm. Moved out to Arizona, moved out west when I was 16 years old, actually, on a family move.
Mm-hmm.
Played sports, did that, got some full-ride scholarships to play baseball in, for college. My grandfather played professional. My uncle played professional. That's what I was supposed to do. Yeah, I chose to not go. In hindsight, probably a mistake. I chose not to go. I wanted to get away from the farm life and kind of the small city stuff, and I ventured out and became self-employed and been self-employed since I'm 17 years old.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just curious.
No.
When you said that you had family members that played professional sports, was it baseball that they played?
Baseball. I'm sorry. Yes, my uncle played. My grandfather played for the White Sox, and my uncle played for the. He only played for a couple of different teams. Ricky Brown. He played for the Padres and San Francisco.
Neat.
He played for three or four teams. Yeah.
Interesting.
So you
had. Yeah. No kidding. Well, as a Dodger season ticket holder, you know, I kind of love baseball as well. Okay. So that being said, I understand that you were released this past November. I think is it just a year now? How is it? Are we looking at an anniversary
year?
Date?
I am. My anniversary 1 year release from federal prison after 16 years was 2 days ago. So I've been home a year, 367 days today.
Wow, that's amazing. And
yeah.
You said that. And I think it's really interesting that you said that it was the best thing that ever happened to you. And I'm just really wondering, why do you say that?
Well, so I went to prison. I'll give you a quick – so I was doing diamonds. I was in the African diamond trade out of Sierra Leone, mm-hmm. Africa. The government investigated me for a couple of years, thought that I was bringing blood diamonds into the United States, conflict diamonds. I was in Sierra Leone 2 years after their civil war, which was funded by conflict diamonds. However, I was not bringing in conflict diamonds at all. So they investigated me for 2 years, followed me everywhere around the globe. Unbeknownst to me, I had no idea they were standing right next to me, all kinds of pictures. And they were literally everywhere I was, same hotels, same restaurants, same nightclubs, same planes, same everything. They thought I was bringing in tons of blood diamonds in the United States. So 2 years after following me around, they couldn't get me on any of the diamond stuff. There was nothing there to be had. I was never supposed to be in the diamond business in the first place. I was a real estate guy, and I owned some software companies, a flower company, all kinds of different, far different things than the African diamond trade. I ended up in the diamond trade because somebody stole some money from me and said that that's where the money went. I chased it down, and long story short, I got involved. So I wasn't bringing in blood. I didn't know enough about the business to even be bringing anything like that in. So the government, like I said, after 2 years of investigating me, finding nothing, went back to their supervisors and charged me with BS tax offenses in another country. Wanted me to take a plea for a couple of years in my life and go to prison for a couple of years. I had a brand new family, two daughters, the whole deal. I chose to fight them. I did not do what they said. I chose to fight them, took them to trial, and they did what the government does, and they gave me 20 years. And I did 16 years for $480,000. They said I owed $480,000 more on my taxes above what I had already paid. And they took that, which only carries a – just a quick story for you. So the tax evasion only carries up to 5 years. That's it, max, 60 months. So if I would have committed the crime, I should have only gotten max 60 months. But the government decided, because I chose to fight them and exercise my constitutional right,
God,
they took that 480 grand, said it's considered ill-gotten gains because I chose to willfully evade my taxes, which was a lie to begin with. So they used that. They took the $480,000 and said that the mortgages and the down payments for – I owned like 24, 25 houses at the time. And of those 24, 25 houses, they said that 13 of them, because I used $480,000, like I said, on down payments and payments and so forth, they used that as – said it was wire fraud and mail fraud, which carried up to 20 years. And that's what they gave me. So I did 16 years flat on what started out as a misdemeanor in another misdemeanors in another country. Wasn't even in this country. And I did 16 years flat. I went in 2007, June 15th of 2007, and got out November 23rd, 2023.
And you were innocent.
I was innocent the whole time. It's
wow.
It's unbelievable. Yeah,
it is unbelievable. I mean, I wish
I could say I was one of only. It's a lot. It happens a lot. People don't understand that this happens. So let me give you a statistic that anybody listening to the show can look up. The government conviction rate is 97%. Now, this is the government that can't manage to get your mail delivered to you on time correctly, or they can't do anything 97% of the time. So you mean to tell me that 97% of the people that they go after are guilty? It's just not – it's not fathomable. Nobody gets that right. Like, nobody gets anything right 97% of the time for this many cases. But I tell people all the time, this country prints its own money and it's won world wars. Certainly, if they said you did something, they're going to do their best to make sure that you go away. And it's the feds, so they don't give away, like, state time. Had I been guilty of the crime, my guideline range was 32 to 38 months. Max that I should have gotten was 5 years. That's the max. That's the statute max. And turned around, and they twisted the whole thing around and created a story that the – jury fell for, completely couldn't understand the story, so they fell for it, and I did, like I said, the 16, and there's lots of people that that's happened to, and you're starting to see it now. You're starting to see some documentaries where people are getting resentenced, and they're going back and finding out that, yeah, listen, we were wrong, but that's after they take and destroy people's lives and families and everything else.
Wow.
It's unfortunate.
It is, and I wish you could see my head, because I'm just shaking it back and forth going, my first thought is, what kind of an attorney was representing you that let that happen? But that's maybe for another time.
I will say that I had the best attorney on the East Coast, and it just doesn't matter. Their conviction rate is still 97%. Doesn't matter who your attorney is. Doesn't matter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yet you said it was the best thing that ever happened to you, and I'm just curious why you would say that.
Okay, so a young guy, and it definitely was the best thing that ever happened to me. I was a young guy in a city too big, and I was making too much money, so I was doing some of the wrong things. I didn't get involved with the drugs and alcohol and that kind of stuff, but I was doing other things. I was not married. I had a couple illegitimate daughters and just running around.
All right.
I got too big for my britches, is what my mom says all the time.
Yes.
Got too big for my britches, and it cost me. I ended up – I could have been better. Everybody can be better on taxes and stuff, and I should have just given it some consideration and just taken the small plea. I couldn't get past it. I didn't do it, so I fought. And while I was there, I realized that I needed to make some changes in my life anyway, and it ended up being, honestly, the best thing that ever happened to me. I came out a person that I never would have been able to become, an author included in that, had I not gone to prison. So it was.
Where was
it? Saved my. Go ahead.
Wow. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just sort of stunned by this. Where was the prison located? I'm just curious. Where was this federal prison?
Well, so another quick little story. So they gave me the 16 years, and I was living in South Florida. The judge recommended Miami. I ended up in a gang. Never been in trouble my entire life. Hadn't had a speeding ticket in 10 years. Literally never, not in trouble. I ended up, they sent me to Texas to a gang unit.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I went from Texas. I went to 8 different prisons in the feds.
Mm.
They ship you when they feel like it. So they'll move you for the right body count, the right race, the right age group. There's a whole demographics that are figured out to try to keep the prisons calm and everything else. So they move you around when they need to move you. So I did 8 different prisons. Most of the guys with my crimes, white-collar crimes is what they call them, most of them end up in what everybody calls Camp Fed or the easy stuff. Because of the time that I received, I didn't get any of that. In order to go to these camps and some of the white-collar facilities, you have to have a sentence under 10 years. Because I had a sentence of 20 years, I did all of the gangs and the prison riots and the stuff you see on TV. I went through 16, well, I guess I went through 13 years of that. Towards the end, I started getting better facilities. But 13 years of a war zone.
Wow. That's shocking. So there you are. You're moving from prison to prison. But how did you learn to write while you were inside prison? Because you weren't a writer going in, correct?
Correct. So what happened was when I left the streets, it's a thumbnail sketch. When I left the streets, I owned 2 software companies in Arizona, houses and real estate from Florida to Hawaii. I owned a sushi chain of restaurants.
Mm.
I owned a flower company in Quito, Ecuador, a diamond mine in Africa, or a diamond business in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to prison, there was none of that. I was used to running 3 different companies on 3 different continents all at the same time. So when I got to prison, there was none of that. There was no business. You're limited on the phone to 300 minutes a month, which is 10 minutes a day, basically. There is no business. You're not allowed to do business. You're not allowed to talk about business on the phone. You're not allowed to do any of that.
Hmm.
So I was obviously bored, not used to that kind of structure. I went to my case manager. Hey, I'm freaking out. There's nothing for me to do. I need something to keep me busy. What can I do to earn money? Nothing. The only thing you can do from federal prison is write a book. And he kind of laughed about it, and kind of cocky smirk. What do I know about writing a book? I took it. I left his office somewhat discouraged. A couple of months pass. I end up in solitary confinement.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm in the middle of my – yeah, I've been for 15 months in a 6x9 cement box. The door never opened for 15 months because I sat in the wrong
seat.
I sat in the wrong seat, and that didn't go the way the guys that were telling me to move. They didn't go the way they thought it would go. So I ended up, like I said, solitary confinement. I'm in the middle of doing my appeals at that time, and I get an attorney call. So I'm talking to my attorney on the phone. He says, "Hey, what are you doing in there in solitary confinement? What do you do all day?" "All I do is read. There's nothing to do. I read a book a day. You get 5 books a week sent in, and I read literally a book a day."
Wow.
So unless I was lucky enough to get one of the classics that were 1,500, 2,000 pages long. But anyway, I read. He said, "You should write a book." Well, that was the second time. Still, I knew nothing about writing a book, and I just kind of left the conversation and didn't think any more about it. Fast forward, a couple more months go by, and the neighbor on the same tier asked the cop to slide a newspaper underneath my door so I could get the USA Today newspaper just to read it. We passed all that stuff around on a daily basis. You're bored. It's a 6x9 box that never opens. So cop passes it under the door, front page USA Today, top 10 hardest things to do. Number 3 is writing a novel. I saw that 3 times. 3 different people, 3 different, it must be a sign. Yeah. So I picked up a pen, I started writing, and I absolutely fell in love with the process. I was about 120 pages in, and I decided that I was going to do this for the rest of my life. And not only was I going to do it for the rest of my life, I was going to top the bestseller list. So that was my ultimate goal. I had two goals while in prison, three actually. The first two was, one, to become the best human being that I could possibly become, and I worked on that. For all the people that say, oh, you can't change, your tiger never changes his stripes, or the leopard is spots, I understand why people say that. Changing is one of the hardest things. I can't. It was easier writing a novel than it was to change. When you become spend 40, 45 years of doing the same thing over and over and over your whole life, it's just, it's hard to change. So I understand people don't change. I know who I am as a person. I grew up on a farm. I have an incredible work ethic. You can tell some of the stuff that I was doing. I'm a worker. So it took all of me, everything in me, every ounce of my existence to change and become who I am today. Not an easy process and not an overnight process. It took 10, 11 years. So I made that goal to be the best human I could be and to top the bestseller list. So Sniff, my first book out, it was released on November 1st, and it's gained pretty good traction already. There's talking about a movie already. Of course, they had it on November 1st. So, yeah, it turned out to be – of course, it was fiction writing. I didn't – nothing about my life or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But those were the goals I set. And the third one was to come home and do a some sort of health drink. I've always been kind of a healthy, extreme healthy guy, and I decided I want to do that when I got home. And I'm sure we're going to get to that later in the podcast.
We are.
I've done that. Yeah. So three goals I've done. Or do
you know, GC, anyway. I'm visualizing you. All right. And I must tell you, for those of you that are listening, you can go to GC Brown Books, and that's plural, gcbrownbooks.com, and you can see where his book is available there. So it's not like you had a laptop. You are pen to paper. You are pen to paper writing, aren't you?
Well,
maybe even pencil to paper.
Well, pencil to paper. Well, you can get pens, not in solitary confinement where I started the writing. It's only the golf pencils. And you have to get the cop when he passes by to give you them. They'll give you 4, 5, 6 of them at a time, slide them under the door. But the worst part of it, the best part of the story, I guess, so the commissary was nonstop out of tablets to write. Not tablets, iPad tablets, regular writing tablets.
Right,
they were
exactly.
Always out, never in stock. So what I got used to doing, and I did it all the time, you could buy two boxes of saltine crackers, the big boxes. Everybody
oh
could
my
buy
goodness.
Two boxes a week. Yeah, you know where the story's going. So you could buy two boxes a week. So I used to run around and trade my coffee and candy bars and all the stuff that I wasn't using to other people so they would get me two boxes of saltine. So every week I used to round up 20, 25 boxes of saltine crackers, and I would take a razor and cut down one of the long sides and write on the inside of saltine cracker boxes. I was that dedicated to write. Of course, by then I had a pen, so it was a little easier. But, yeah, no computers, no internet, no you want to look up something, you go to the library and look in the encyclopedia. So
you know,
I
you said something
from that.
You said something that just made me like, what? The fact that you said you had a razor? Are you talking about, like, to shave your – that kind of a razor?
Yes, yes. So they give you – you can buy disposable razors to shave.
I see.
So you just – you take the razor apart, just take the razor blade out.
Got
it. It's one of the biggest tools in prison. They use it for literally everything from cutting food to cutting another person. I use it for something.
I was
going
to say, gosh, GC, it sounds like a weapon to me when you said that. That's why I went, what? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
okay.
They do – they do use them as weapons. They the problem is they originally had the electric shavers, but inmates can be pretty ingenious. So they would take the electric razors apart and turn them into tattoo guns.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was either give them disposable razors or everybody's got tattoos and everybody's getting infections and staff
all
that kind of stuff. So they went over the years and went to – I did hear recently that they're actually going back – because so many people are getting cut with the razors that they're actually going back to the electric. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's being talked about.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about this book. Let's talk about SNF. Tell us about what this book is all about.
Okay, so it's the second book. The first book, I have two series. The first book is called, it was released in November, it's called SNF. It's about a high-flying, let me preface this first. In federal prison, I was surrounded by billionaires and millionaires, doctors, lawyers, professional athletes, drug kingpins, pilots, bank robbers, pedophiles, pimps, anything you could think of on a federal level, I was surrounded by those characters. So it might be 9 o'clock in the morning and I'm having a coffee and talking to a billionaire. Later that afternoon, I could be on the handball court talking to a Colombian drug lord. Everybody is there. So I took these characters that I wrote or that I was surrounded with, and I just plugged them into my story. So I didn't have to go look. I didn't need the research. I didn't need the computers. Literally the stories unfolded in front of me in prison. But so SNF is about a banker from the Middle East. He was high-flying. He was doing all the right things, and everything he touched turned to gold. He was a guy earning $6, $7, $8 million a year every year. Lived in a Switzerland in a chateau with the wife of his dreams. He had the kid. He had the car. Everything he thought he ever wanted. And comes home one day, and the markets crashed. That started to fall apart. And comes home one day. His wife has a terminal disease that turns into trying to help save her. Which turns into he gets addicted to speed, trying to stay up around the clock, chasing a miracle to keep his wife alive, and that turns into an addiction that he ends up coming to the United States and robbing banks.
Oh, my gosh.
In order to support his wife's cancer treatment. And, it takes you everywhere. It takes you all over the Middle East, Dubai, South America, Morocco, into the United States, back to Egypt. It's definitely a globe-trotting book, and it's pretty fun. I've been told it's been a cross between The Hangover and Ocean's 11. So it's pretty. It's a fun book, a fun read. My whole goal in writing it was obviously to top these bestseller lists, but to write a book that you forgot you were reading because I'm such an avid reader or became an avid reader in prison. You want to get your head outside of those walls. So I looked for books that I could stick with the characters, and it just allowed me to quit thinking about being in prison. It allowed me not even to realize that I was reading. I actually was living the stories. So when I decided to write, that's the type of books I wanted to write. I wanted to write a movie and put the reader into a movie and spell it out for them so they forgot they were reading. And I think I've accomplished it. We'll know in another year or so.
How long did it take you to actually go from beginning to end in writing this?
Okay, so the first book, SNF is not the first book I wrote. The first book I wrote it out of ego because everybody kept saying, I told you the three reasons to write. So I wrote that book out of ego. So I'm in the middle of I had an agent, and we were starting to get sales. And in the meantime, so I'm sitting there in prison, and I get an email. In prison, we have an email system. It's really just a text system. Text. It's not really an email like there's not like you're used to out here. But anyway, I get a message from him that says, hey, you won the gold. Obviously, I had no idea what he was talking about. Later that day when I was able to finally get on the phone, I called him, asked what was going on. And he had entered the first book, which was the Mason Storm book, entered into a contest without me knowing. And I actually, against 2,000 other writers from prison, I actually won the Benjamin Franklin Award. And I got first place. Yeah, so
good for you.
When I did that, I realized that it kind of all dawned on me at the same time. Not only had I fallen in love with the whole writing process, I actually ended up that I was pretty good at it, good enough to beat out 2,000 other authors that were not in prison and with staff and computers and research and all that. And I realized that at that point, I realized, you know what, I can do better. I actually wrote this book just out of ego, just to see if I can do it. Now let's really put some heart into it. So I actually took that, but he wasn't very, the publisher and agent was not very happy, but I actually got rid of them both and took the book off the shelf. I won the award. By the following month, I had already torn that whole book apart, sentence by sentence, and turned it in. I decided that I was going to do it for a living, and I turned that book into a series. Book one of that is being released in March, and that's called Taken by Storm, which if you go to the website, you actually
I'm looking
see
at that right now.
Yeah,
I see that. That's interesting.
Yeah, that book will come out in March.
Okay, so that's coming out in March. So when you just to be clear about what you said, so Sniff wasn't the first thing you wrote, but it's the latest thing that you've written.
Correct. I wrote, so I was three or four books in on the Mason Storm series, and COVID hit. If you think they dropped the ball out here, you should have been in prison when COVID hit. So lockdown, again, back to a 6x9 cell, the door open 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
God.
Yeah, for 15 minutes at a time. And I couldn't get to, they literally locked us down. I didn't have any of my stuff, none of the Mason Storm stuff. We got moved to a quarantine building. I caught COVID. I was in a pod with 60 other people. 56 of us tested positive the same day. So they hurried up and moved us to a quarantine unit and didn't let me get any of my stuff. So all my stuff got put away. So I couldn't work during lockdown. So I decided, you know what, let me just write another book, nothing to do with Mason Storm. So I wrote Sniff, an idea that I'd been kicking around for a couple of months and just plan on getting back to sooner or later. Well, COVID, like I said, COVID hit, and I wrote it from
oh,
COVID.
Oh, my goodness.
In a,
That's so –
6x9 cell. Yep.
God. You know, I mean, 6x9 is – that's the size of a bathroom. You know, really a closet. So COVID might have been the best thing that happened. It's just, you know, you don't know where your blessings come from. So
you don't.
What do you enjoy about writing that you get pleasure from?
Well, I'm a Gemini, so let me go back and answer it this way. All those companies that I had built and I had set up, the fun part with me with business is the setup, the creation. Once the day-to-day stuff happens, which is part of the reason that I needed to be a different human being, once the day-to-day stuff started happening on all these companies, I really didn't care about them anymore. It wasn't my thing. My thing has always been, let's create, let's build it, let's get it there, and then I don't want to run it. So the thing about writing that allows me to write as a Gemini, everything changes every time I pick up that pen. So I don't it's not the same thing. There's never the day-to-day activity. It's pick up the pen, and it should be known. I don't have any idea what I'm going to write. When I sit down, here's how I write. I don't use the index cards. I don't do the traditional way because I didn't get to learn that way because I was in prison. So you're supposed to write out, know how your story is going to work and where your climax is and all these different index cards. I didn't do any of that, so I didn't learn any of that, so I still don't do any of that today. What I do
even
is
to
I
today.
Read, even to today,
oh my,
what I do, in fact, I'm writing this afternoon, and here's my, and I've never changed this. So before we jumped on this podcast, I read what I wrote yesterday. When I finish this podcast, I'm just going to get back on there and pick up the story from where I wrote yesterday. I have no idea what I'm going to write today. I don't have, and I can't tell you, I have no idea where the story is going today at all, none. I never did, and that's the way I wrote these books.
You are fascinating. I was told you were fascinating. I believe that.
Yeah.
So you talked about your time. Oh, well, you've talked about your time in prison, but what's your life like now?
Well, so the first, I was always that guy you can imagine. I'm sure everybody knows one. I'm never getting married. I don't want to be married. I don't want to be committed. I don't want any of that. So I spent my whole life saying I would never, ever, ever get married. So fast forward to a couple of years ago, I get a brand new cellmate. And this guy, young kid, catches 15-year sentence, 23 years old, got caught up with the cartels, moving drugs over the border between California and Mexico. First time offense, never been in trouble, knows he made a mistake. He ends up my cellmate. So I'm constantly, he's a 23-year-old kid, I'm about to be 50. I've done the whole prison thing. I've done a lot longer time than what he's going to do. Well, not a lot longer, 4 years longer than what he's getting ready to do. So I'm constantly on him. Hey, listen, this is what you got to do. You got to stay away from the trouble. You got to kind of get to yourself, figure out some things that you want to do with your life when you get out of here, set goals, blah, 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 blah. So he's constantly, every day, you remind me of my sister. You remind me of my sister. He's on the phone to her. She's getting on him. Hey, listen, you got to do different, but you remind me of my celly. You remind me of my celly. Long story short, he goes to visit one day. And I see him iron his clothes and stuff the night before, like we all do. And he's getting ready, excited for a visit. Hey, who's coming to see you tomorrow? Oh, it's my sister. I'm going to tell her about you. I said, what? Now I'm getting ready to get out. I'm literally waiting on a halfway house date to go home. It didn't come for 7 more months, longer than it should have, because the government's inadequate at everything they do, especially at that level, or at most things they do, I should say. So he ends up, we get in contact. He comes back from visit. My sister said to call her, which she never said that. That's how bad this kid did. She never said that. He said, my sister said to call her. I said, I'm not calling your sister. I'm getting ready to go out. And the last thing I'm thinking about is going home. I have my books to do. It was the last thing on my mind. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll email her. And I figured I'd get in and out of the email and just be polite and just I could stop it there. And turns out, like I said, she never asked me to call. She never asked for me to email. None of that. So me being the big dummy, it takes me a couple of days, and I put this little email together. I didn't know what to say. It had been 16 years since I'd talked to a female and outside of case managers and counselors, stuff like that. And I still hadn't sent it. Well, he gets her brother, Juan, he gets in trouble, and he ends up going to the hole. So I'm the only – on his way out the door in cuffs from the cops, he says, hey, make sure you let my sister know that I'm in the hole. Tell her to send me books. So the only – now I have to. Now I have to send the email. So I send the email to her, and that turns into – nonstop emails all day long, every day. It turns into me, a guy that was complete routine, on the clock. I knew exactly what my day was going to be every day. It was the same. It never changed for a long, long, long time. Enter Carla, and my whole day was screwed up. I spent my time on my watch waiting for the timer to go off so I could get back on the computer. You had to wait 15 minutes between each email. So it was... went to a nonstop email, and then that moved to phone calls. Then it moved to I got out. She drove over from California to Arizona. I was at my brother's place. It ended up being love at first sight. We ended up getting married on my actual release date last July, and we are both proud parents of 16-week-old identical twin boys. Yeah.
Oh, so we have, my gosh.
A lot going on, and I literally wrote part of Sniff. It's obviously he was trying to save his wife, and it's a love story. I literally wrote my life into a love story, or wrote the love story that I'm now living. It's been incredible. If I'd have known love was like this, I'd have got it a long time ago. I'd stay away from all this. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
amazing. My husband lived by these simple words. It is what it is. And sometimes it just is what it is, isn't it? And you didn't plan on it. And look what happened because of your cellmate that introduces you to his sister, that you have no intention of falling in love, getting married, or having children. And look where you are now. Isn't
so many things had to move, and it just goes to show you whether you believe in God, your universe, whatever it is, it's out there, and it will move when you're doing the right things and you're saying the right things, and it's going to do whatever comes out of your mouth, period, whether you want to be good or bad. It depends how you look at life. The universe, your God, for me it's God, makes some amazing moves mountains to make things happen. Yeah. I was not supposed to be sent to California. It was a mistake. I should have never ended up in that prison in the first place. Two, in prison, especially in California, it's very segregated. Everybody, you live with your own race. Even if you're not racist, which obviously I'm not, I have two daughters, and Liliana, my youngest, is Cuban or half Cuban. So I've never been racist my entire life, but in prison, you live with your own. It's just the way it is to keep the riots and stuff down. I was the only one in our section that had a bed open, and he's Spanish, and ended up in my bunk, which was never supposed to happen. It's just things happened. It's incredible. If he would have not gone to the hole, if he had not gotten in trouble, this would have never happened.
No.
There were so many things that had to happen in order for her and I to happen, and I'm telling you, if I'd have known love felt like this, I'd have never gone to prison. I'd have been more focused on my home life. I just didn't know it could be like this. And maybe it couldn't have been for me at that point in my life, but it's amazing. It's unbelievable.
It sounds like your planets were all in alignment. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
So do you have any regrets? I suspect you don't.
Well, I regret that. I don't have many, no. I often say, in fact, I just had this conversation a couple of days ago with Carla. If there's any point in my life, a lot of people say, if I could just go back to this point, and I don't want to go very far back. I want to go just before or just after Liliana was born, which would have been in 2004. So it means I was still going to prison because my clients, they say, were before 2004, so I'd have still gone to prison, but I would not have wanted to not have Liliana, so I could only go back to that date. Both my daughters, I still would have had my daughters. I would have still gone to prison, but I'd still be here right now. So that's as far back as I want to go. Yeah, I don't regret much. I regret that I wasn't there for my daughters. That's been the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, it is what it is.
That's right.
It's just,
I want to talk. We're going to see if we can get back to writing, but we've got to talk about this new venture that you're launching, and it's called Up Cup Coffee, and coffee is spelled with a K. And I would really like to direct people to that website as well. So Up Cup Coffee, like I said, spelled with a K, .com is your website for that, and this is launching very soon. So let's talk about this. This is very exciting.
Yeah, it's super. I got a lot of excited things in my life right now. Up Cup is way up at the top. So while in prison, like I said, I was surrounded by everybody, professional athletes, doctors, lawyers, billionaires, guys that were taking $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 worth of vitamins a day. In all my research over the years, it came up that there were certain things that when I got home, I wanted to take. And they were shilajit, which has been a natural substance. It's found in the Himalayas. It's 4,000 years old. It's used for energy, supports cognitive function. It's an antioxidant. It balances your metabolism for weight control. Another one was the NAD Plus, which is basically an anti-aging. It improves your energy metabolism, your cognitive function again, your well-being, supports energy production, DNA repair, all of that. And the other one was lion's mane mushroom, which has kind of become mainstream now. Everybody's talking about the lion's mane. Again, it's for the brain. It's for the nervous system. It's for the cognitive function, the memory enhancement. It's immune support, anti-inflammatory, nerve regeneration, growth and repair, the whole deal. So these things, I come home and said, no matter what, I'm going to start taking these additives. So I come home immediately and started doing these three things, a couple other things too, the Moringa powders, and there was a few other things I was taking. But I got the best results from these three additives that I just told you about. The problem is the Shilajit is a tar. So I was taking this tar, and I was taking it first thing in the morning, 6 o'clock, and I was still burping it up in the afternoon. It's just it's a tar. It just doesn't go away. It tastes terrible. The lion's mane mushroom smells and tastes terrible. The NAD really doesn't have a taste. It doesn't really have a taste at all. But those other two, what I was doing was, and I was also doing the, I was getting the lion's mane from a mushroom coffee. But it tasted terrible. So what I was doing with the Shilajit and the NAD is I was just burying it inside my morning coffee, inside the mushroom coffee. I'd make it the night before, and I would just leave it on the sink in my bathroom. I'd slam it in the mirror, slam it with a little bit of water, and then brush my teeth and done. Because, like I said, a terrible taste. The mushroom coffee tasted terrible. It was all terrible. But it was just a way to absorb all of it right away, and it was a way to get around the Shilajit without that tar stuck to the inside of my mouth. So I started doing that, and pretty soon that turned into, hey, why don't we just make a mushroom coffee? My cellmates from along the way, Alex, which you can read about on the website, we're going back and forth. He's taking some of the same additives, doing some of the same stuff, and we're laughing, we're joking about all the terrible taste and the terrible taste and the different ways to hide it and all these things. And we're in the meantime, him and I are in the process of opening a drop ship company, and we're just going to sell some trinkets, coffee mugs and hats, and just a way to get something going, open up after waiting on the book series and stuff like that to go. So we're laughing and playing on the phone every morning. He's out in Massachusetts, and I'm obviously there in Arizona. And we're laughing, playing. And one of us, I still don't know, he don't know, one of us said, hey, we should just make a mushroom coffee. We should just add this stuff to the mushroom coffee. So immediately a bell went off. Hey, let's do it. I started down the path. I'm kind of a little crazy. When I get an idea, that's all I can do. It's all I can think about. So I start off down the path, and it doesn't even, I'm saying to myself, we can do this easily. It doesn't even need to taste good. Mushroom coffee, nobody expects it to taste good. So we get a month or so into this thing, and everything's moving, and I get a call from Alex. Hey, we need to make it taste good. I said, what? Nobody's taste good. Why do we gotta be the guy on the block that's got to spend the extra time trying to make it taste good? Plus, I don't think it's possible. None of this stuff that we're taking tastes good. He said, hey, I got a chemist and a coffee expert. I'm going to, I'm set to talk to him. He said, all right. So I call Dr. William MacArthur III, also a prior Selly in prison. And you can read about him also on the website. I call him and I say, now these two, Alex and Doc, don't know each other, but I'm doing real estate with Doc and a drop ship with Alex. I call Doc and tell him about what I'm doing with Alex. He says, hey, I'm taking some of that too. And he's actually a medical doctor, got his license back, the whole thing. And so long story short, we all three end up with going to the chemist. Alex gets us lined up with the coffee expert out of California and a team of chemists. We go back and forth, and we come up with a brewed coffee. Now, most of these 99, I think there's only one other one that's a brewed coffee. All of the rest of them are instant, and instant coffee doesn't taste good to begin with. So we decided we were going to do a brewed coffee, actual coffee grounds, and it turned out that this thing is, we used 100% Arabica bean, and for those that don't know, it's considered the highest quality. It's not a hybrid. There's no blending with other beans. It's a Colombian, or it's an Arabica bean sourced out of Colombia. 100% pure, no, like I said, no blending other beans, no hybrids, super high quality. So what comes back from the chemist is a great tasting cup of coffee with all these things in it. And not just, you know, a lot of people advertise, oh, it's got collagen, we got omega-3 and we got this. And if you look on the dosage in the back of what they're actually putting in it, they're putting in just enough so they can say it's in there. They're not putting anywhere near the amount that you would have to take in order for it to show some sort of for you to see results. So we didn't do that. We stuck in, if you go in the back of there, you'll see that it's 250 milligrams of both the Shilajit and the Lion's Mane, and I believe it's 100 or 150 of the NAD, the NAD Plus, which is, like I said, the anti-aging. But when you taste this, it's unbelievable. There's no and it's immediate, and it's only – we cut down on the amount of caffeine because you don't need it. You don't need all that caffeine in there. It's still got caffeine in it. It's still got 45 milligrams per cup in there. But with the Shilajit, all these things are used for enhancing energy. So you're getting long-standing amounts of energy without the jitters, without the drop-off at the end, and it's all sustained all day long. The sense of well-being, it's actually an amazing cup of coffee. You can actually go on there and look at some of the reviews that are on there already. It's actually for sale. Mm-hmm. Our launch date is Black Friday, but we went ahead and soft opened. Yeah, we had so many people because what we did was, again, Alex's idea, we got a bunch of sample bags and hooked them up with SurveyMonkey and put a QR code on all kinds of sample bags and sent them all over the country. Well, we were dodging basically so many phone calls coming in asking if it was ready yet that we finally said, you know what, we can't deal with it anymore. Let's just open it and get it soft opening on Amazon and let people go ahead and buy now. And they've been buying like crazy. In fact, we just got a call this afternoon. We have to ship in more inventory already in order to have it for the Black Friday. They're almost out at Amazon of our first shipment. So we're actually waiting on the shipping labels right now as we speak to get out the next boxes to Amazon so that it's there on time for the Black Friday release. But
oh, I see.
Coffee.
So people can't physically purchase it until Black Friday, till the 29th.
Oh,
but
no, you can buy it now. You can buy it now.
Okay. Even though your launch date is Black Friday, I guess I'm confused with the process.
Well, we set the launch Friday. We did all the press release, all the podcasts and the magazines. Everything says Black Friday launch. But we were getting so many calls from people asking, and it was actually ready to go. It was just us that said, oh, hold it till Black Friday. So we went ahead and just opened the site regardless.
Lovely.
Onto the website or on Amazon, you can buy it now. And we thought,
Perfect. Okay,
we'll open it. We opened it, I don't know, 10, 12 days ago. And we thought, oh, we're not going to get that many orders between now. We'll have enough inventory sitting there at Amazon. And sure as I'm sitting there, the orders came in so fast that they called us, Amazon called, and or through the third party that does the Amazon for us, called and said, hey, we're about out of inventory. You need to get us more inventory here. So we're in the middle of waiting on shipping labels right now. The boxes of
My
coffee
goodness.
Are sitting in the boxes of coffee are sitting actually in our CEO's living room as we speak, waiting to be shipped out. So, yeah, we went through all the inventory already.
Well,
go
you
ahead.
Know, for Thanksgiving, right?
Maybe
the word manufactured is the wrong word. Where is this put together physically?
Our distributor is in California, Brea, California.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Right out just outside of L.A. there.
Right. I'm familiar. Wow. I'm looking at I'm looking at your bag of cup coffee. And I don't know who did the design. I like the way it looks. And I must tell you, you know, as I mentioned, sometimes I say to people, you don't know what you don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. First of all, I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm a tea drinker. But I would say this. I had never heard of Lion's Mane mushrooms. Could you just tell us a little bit more about what that mushroom does?
Well, it's a mushroom. It's actually it grows on the trunks of dead hardwood trees like oak. It has a long history. It's been used in ancient Asian medicine for a long time. It improves nerve development, function, energy. What else is it? It's for brain and nervous system, the cognitive function, memory enhancement, anti-inflammatory. Immune support, nerve regeneration, growth, and repair. It's a it's actually pretty incredible. It's become mainstream now, just because of the TikTok and the all the social media. If you pull it up now, it's one of the highest search words out. It's incredible. It's incredible. But it's not gaining. I mean, people have used Ryan's Mane for the Alzheimer's, for dementia, for stomach problems. It's all kinds of stuff. It's been around for a long, long, long time. In fact, if you go to a WebMD, or actually, you don't even have to go there. If you go to our website and you go to the link that says science, we've posted all kinds of the different, and not by your corner store MD guys or this doctor said this. These are actually from sound institutions. These tests that are on there. It's amazing. It's really it's unbelievable. It's all over out here in California. There's it grew out big on the East and West Coast, and now everybody in the middle is starting to find out about it.
I know it's called Up Cup Coffee, but as a tea drinker, I'm thinking about Lion's Mane. Are you going to have any other products, or are you just going to have coffee on the Up Cup Coffee?
No, actually, we're talking about doing some teas, different kinds of teas. We're going to do we're getting ready to do a kid's a cocoa drink. Milk.
Or
a chocolate milk, I should say. And we're going to be coming up with a couple different creamers. And we're building a company that, when we first started out, to be honest, Alex and I were just talking about a company that we were going to sell a bag here, sell maybe two bags here. And pretty soon we got enough to buy get an office and on and on and on. So we thought we were going to build this just one at a time. Well, it ended up being my PR firm for the book, which is the Blaine Group, Devin Blaine. She ends up getting a hold of some of the coffee and walks us into the largest distributor in North America. And ends up we strike a deal with these guys. We bring in a CEO. It was three ex-felons, Doc, myself, and Alex. And when we realized this opportunity presented itself, we needed a truckload of money to get it done. All kinds of stuff had to be done. So we got a hold of somebody that's coming in to be our CEO. He's a relation, not been to prison. And he's actually, I'm just going to go ahead and say, he's actually my brother. My brother's been in corporate America his whole life.
Wonderful.
He's always done the right thing, never been to prison, is a VP at a public company. I was released to his home there in Arizona to do my post-release for 6-7 months on an ankle monitor. I stayed there, and I came up with this with my two partners, or the three of us came up with this coffee thing, and I'm going back and forth carrying the boxes through the house, and Jim's seeing this, and he's seeing everything that's going on, and ended up when it come time and we struck this deal, I called him, and he backed up the truck with money in it, and he's coming over. He's still, and the reason we were not releasing him right away, and we still were on the fence about it, but he's still working in corporate America for a short more time, or a short little amount of time left, and then he's coming over to do this as our CEO. So we're super happy to, and not just because he's my brother, not at all. This guy is qualified, always done the right thing, pinches the pennies when it needs to be done. He understands the coffee. He understands how to get it out. We're super, super, super excited, and I've actually got him drinking coffee now. He's never been the health guy. Take a bite. I'll try stand on one foot, take this. I'll try anything for help. Jim's never done that, but I can proudly say he is enjoying Up Cup at least once a day now. So we're pretty happy about that.
So we have just a little bit of time left. I just want to ask you this real quickly. You've mentioned these additives, but for many of us, we've never heard of, I don't even know how to say the word. How do you say it?
It's a natural substance. It's found in the Himalayas. It goes back to 4,000 years old. It's been used in medicine for 4,000 years. It enhances energy. It supports cognitive function, antioxidant. It balances, like I said, your metabolism for weight control. It enhances anything it touches. So a little bit of caffeine that's in there and the mushrooms and the NAD with the energy, it enhances all of that. You feel, go onto the site and look at some of the reviews. Those are not bought reviews. Those are not, we did Survey Monkey. Like I said, we sent this coffee out to all kinds of people we don't know. We sent them all over the country with a QR code. Get on there and say what you want to say. And we posted all that stuff, and you'll see some of those reviews. It almost, they're so good, it sounds like they're bought. It sounds like they're related. They're not. Now we know a couple of people, obviously, that that have it, that have used it. But the majority of those reviews and the stuff coming in from the general public, those are real. Those are
I believe you.
It's amazing. When you try this Shilajit, it's immediate. It's immediate. The sense of well-being that you get, the energy is it's inexplainable. The amount of energy with no jitters, no fall off, none of that caffeine, that dirty feeling after you drink four or five cups of coffee. You're not a coffee drinker, but us coffee drinkers, you go through four, five, six cups of coffee every day. You feel that dirty kind of your skin, like the it's almost like that cold sweat feel. Like you get the jitters, you get that caffeine crash. None of that with this. Zero.
Interesting. That's great. And you sound like a very productive man. You've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
You have new things that are happening. I'm looking forward to seeing how you can put these ingredients into other other products. I don't know what they would be. Maybe they're not even something you drink. Maybe they're something you eat. I don't know. But how do you balance? You've got these babies that are just babies. How do you balance your life where you're still writing, you're still productive, you're doing podcasts, you've got this company. How do you balance out your private life, like your personal side of your life and your professional life? How do you do that?
Well, I've been asked this multiple times, and I've never given the answer that I want to give. I don't really know how I do it. I don't really have a personal business life. Everything's just kind of everything's one. I mean, I write with a kid laying, I type with one hand with a kid laying, a twin laying across my lap, burping them. So it's a, I don't get up for a lot of the feedings during the middle of the night. I'm blessed to have Carla. She's absolutely amazing person and even a better mother. I don't hear much during the night. If I do wake up, obviously I'll grab one and feed, but she is, she's the rock. She allows me to – in fact, there's a cool video out there that I'm in the back writing, locked into the room writing, and I walk out. She has holding – one twin is on the front of her in one of those jumper things, the kangaroo pouches, and she's holding the other twin in the left arm, and she's stirring my dinner on the stove. So while I'm back here writing. So I'm blessed that I have her. I have an amazing family, Jim and Marlene, which is Jim's wife. They amazing family. They're there for every step of the way. It's just I've got good friends. I got good partners with Alex and Doc. I just I'm blessed.
You are.
I'll do anything.
I can hear that.
To not go back. Yeah, I'll do anything not to end up back where I was. So.
Was I not paying attention? And I apologize if I wasn't. You mentioned that you have twins. Did you say if they're boys, girls, one of each?
Identical twin boys, Tristan and
boys.
Trevor. Yep.
Okay, that's great.
Yep.
Well, I just didn't know if maybe you were a person that, because you have a lot going on, if you were a person that does, you know, yoga or does just some quiet breathing meditation or things like that just to settle yourself down before your day starts.
No, I really don't. I'm not one of those guys that wakes up and has to have 20 minutes to myself. I literally roll out of bed, brush my teeth, and sit in my chair and go right to work.
And you still
And
you are still writing, not using the computer. You are still handwriting.
Oh yeah, I handwrite. I just don't like the. I can't compose the thoughts. that I do, and I find that
fabulous.
She bought me a pretty cool, I don't know what they're called, a chase lounge, I guess, where it lays back.
Uh-huh.
I write in pencil and paper, scratch stuff out. In regular formatting, I scratch it out on paper, and then I come write it on the computer and do my rewrites off of that. But everything is from laying on it. I blare the radio, and I go to write. I don't use a computer at all. I can't. I don't like it. I like the just writing the old-fashioned way.
Well, you are an inspiration, my friend. You have really lived quite the life, and I'm so grateful to Devin, as you mentioned, Devin. She has been very, very gracious in sending me many of her clients, and she said, Marcia, you are going to love this guy. And I can see why she said that. And I just want to thank you for sharing the intimate story of your life, because you never know who's going to listen to what you've just said. Maybe it's themselves, maybe it's a family member, but maybe you personally have inspired somebody to go, if he can do it, I can do it. And I just want to thank you, GC, for spending this time with me. This has been everything Devin said it would be and more. I'm so grateful.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure. I loved it. I wish we had another hour.
Me too. Well, you don't live far. We'll have to meet someday. So,
that's
everybody,
right.
As I say goodbye to GC and end the last Monday of November and we approach the Thanksgiving, I just want to say from my heart that I am very thankful to be able to do what I do, that I'm able to do this every week and share the stories. When I say, what's your story? Everyone has one. I have one. GC has one. Maybe you have one too. But when you spend this time with your family and friends or however you all spend Thanksgiving, let's all take a moment. Oh, this makes me well up. Let's all take a moment to realize how very thankful we are that we can be together with family, friends, or wherever we are in our lives. I'm grateful very much. And I can't wait to see what's next. You have to let me know when you make some tea. So for now, I'm going to just say goodbye. Have a lovely rest of your day. And I look forward to being in touch with you soon. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day.
Cupcake Vineyards grow their grapes in the finest wine regions on earth, like Marlborough, New Zealand, for their Sauvignon Blanc. It's called Cupcake. Okay. Cupcake Vineyards. Serious wine, unserious name. Copyright 2024. Cupcake Vineyards, Livermore, California.